And let me invite you to take your Bibles this morning and turn with us to the book of Matthew, chapter 18. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18 this morning. And over the last several weeks, in our discipleship class, we have been looking at and studying the importance of the services of the local New Testament church and the importance of not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Back in June for our anniversary Sunday, I gave to us and handed out and had on the back table a list which I referred to as the MIA list, the missing in action list. Now, some of those folks are shut in. Some of those folks are not here because of sickness and illness and all the rest. Some of them they don't attend here necessarily, but they have a connection to the church. And those aren't the ones that I was necessarily worried about or necessarily who the Lord had laid on my heart regarding that MIA list. But this morning we're going to see, Lord willing, why and the importance of that list and just why it was given out. Notice there, if you would, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, and we'll begin reading at verse number 11 down through verse number 14. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, beginning at verse number 11, down through verse number 14. The Bible says this: "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save," or I'm sorry, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99? And goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray. And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish." You notice that phrase there. In verse number 12, the last part of verse number 12, the Bible says, "That which is gone astray." That which is gone astray. For a few moments this morning, I'd like to preach just on this thought: that which is gone astray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you again for this day. And Father, we do thank you for your love and your mercy towards us. Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to come and gather in your house on a Sunday morning to sing your praises and open your word to see a truth that might help us be the church and the Christian you'd have us to be. Father, now I pray you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. May the words I speak be those of you and you alone. Father, may the message this morning be a help, a challenge, encouragement for each one of us. If there be one here this morning that know not Christ as their Savior, I pray they not leave this place without getting their eternal destiny settled and secure, that their sins be forgiven, that Christ be their Savior. And now, Father, I just pray, again, you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help this message to go forth as you'd have it to go forth. And for all you'll do, we'll love you and thank you for it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Over the last several weeks, as I said, we've been studying this in our discipleship class, the importance of church attendance. And from those studies, Lord has laid two messages on my heart in particular. You'll get one this morning and then one next Sunday morning. But God has laid on my heart what the Bible refers to as the strays. People that, whether they think it, know it, accept it, believe it or not, they are strays. They ought to be here, but they're not here. They ought to be in their place, But instead, for whatever reason, again, I'm not talking about the shut-ins, those who are sick, so on and so forth, those that don't normally attend here, but those who ought to be here, and for whatever reason, they just decide, I'm not going to be in church. That's who we're looking at this morning, the strays that the Bible talks about. There's several things I wanted to see this morning. Number one, the sheep that have strayed. The sheep that have strayed. You know, there are a lot of strays out there. I don't know if you notice it, but as you drive around, whether it be here in Sarah or Athens or Waverly, you see a lot of stray cats. A lot of cats just on the prowl and on the loose, and they're strays. They have no home. They have no one there to love them. They have no one there to take care of them. They have no one there to protect them. There are a lot of strays out there. Now, here in our story, in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 18, we see there's a lot of emphasis and attention put on this sheep that went astray. But the question is, how did it go astray? Well, in the Bible, we talk a lot about the word typology. We talk a lot about the word type. And in Scripture, you have, while the Lord has given us one account, while He's given us one particular through line, and we take it at face value, there are also typologies that we can glean and gather from the account that the Lord has given to us. And here, the straying sheep talked about in Matthew 18 is a typology. It's a picture of two kinds of people. Number one, it's a picture of the lost. You say, how do you know that? Verse number 11. For the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. Elsewhere in the New Testament, the Bible tells us, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so not only did He come to save the lost, He came to seek the lost. He came to go after the lost. He came to seek and to save them which was lost. But not only is it a picture of those who are lost, it's a picture of the believer. It's a picture of the Christian that has strayed from the Lord. I'd like us to look this morning at some scriptures that explain just what we're talking about. And so the sheep that have strayed, number one, they could be gone astray because of desertion. They could be gone astray because of desertion. John chapter 10, you don't have to turn to these scriptures, write them down. Look them up later if you want them. I can give them to you. We're just going to run through them. John chapter 10, verses 11 through 13. The Bible says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. You know, this morning there are so many believers. There are so many Christians. There are so many churches that have been deserted by hirelings over the years. A hireling is just very simply a pastor who is in it for the money. They're not real shepherds. They're not real pastors. And wolves come into the church, and instead of the shepherd staying there and fighting off the wolves and driving the wolves out of the church and protecting the flock, the hirelings just pack up, pick up, and leave. Instead of staying and fighting and standing for that which is right, they just say, well, we'll go on to greener pastures. And when that happens, the wolf is left behind to devour the flock. The wolf is left behind to eat up the flock that remains, because now there's no shepherd left to stand in the way, to stand in the gap between the sheep and the wolf. And again, you've heard me say any number of times, that's why we just don't let anybody who's anybody come in and preach from the pulpit. That's why we just don't let anybody that's anybody come in and sing. That's why we just don't let anybody who's anybody come in and join the membership without first doing to the best of our ability to know that, number one, they're saved, and then number two, that they've been baptized and that they are who they say they are from a testimony point of view. But there's many that have been deserted by hirelings that were not real shepherds. The casualties that have occurred because of hirelings is heartbreaking. I can't begin to tell you the number of times that I've been told the story of people who said that they will never go to another Baptist church ever again because of something that happened in their life. Because they didn't have a shepherd that protected them against the wolves. And those that have gone astray because of the gross declaration of duty by pastors and under-shepherds is staggering. When we were in Oklahoma, I made sure we vetted everybody that came forward for membership. And I remember one time I had a fella come to me and he said, this church's guidelines for membership is just too strict. It's just too stringent. You're just too tough when it comes to certain things. Well, folks, in the day and age we live in, we need to be vigilant. We need to be watchful because the wolves are trying to get in. In the Song of Solomon, the Bible talks about the thief has been invited in. No longer do they have to break in because we're just inviting them into our churches. We're just inviting them into our homes. We're just inviting them into our lives. We had a fellow come forward for membership and he didn't believe in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And so I had to sit down with him and tell him that while he was welcome to attend the church, that if he could not agree with the doctrinal statement of the church, then he could not join as a member. Because first of all, why would you join a place that you couldn't agree with the doctrinal statement to begin with? The Bible tells us in the book of Amos, can two walk together except they be agreed? And so we see the importance of fighting off the wolves. But many have been gone astray because of desertion. This is what God said about these shepherds in Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34, verse 5 and following, the Bible says, and they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the fields when they were scattered. My sheep through all the mountains and upon every high hill, yea, my flock was scattered upon the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field. You see, this morning, when there's no shepherd to protect the sheep, they become prey. They become susceptible to the predators of this world. You see, this morning, the shepherd's job is to feed and care for the flock of God. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 through 4, the Bible says, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. The shepherd's job is to feed you the word of God, all of the word of God, Genesis to Revelation, the parts that are easy to swallow and the parts that aren't so easy to swallow. The parts that, oh, I can accept that. And then the parts that step on your toes. The parts that we don't necessarily like or agree with. It's my job to give it all to you. But not only that, it's my job to care for you. And if I care for you, then I'm going to tell you the truth from the Word of God. Yesterday, Manny and I, we were coming home, and she read something to me on Facebook. And anymore, I don't know if it's just I'm getting cranky the older I get, or more annoyed the older I get, but she read me something, and the gist of it was this pastor and his family, they're on vacation, which means they're away from the church. Well, they get a call from a family in the church, and the family is, how old was the? 2 years old. The daughter or son? Well, this family's 2 year old child passed away.
Murdered.
And so the pastor's wife, there's a pastor's wife group on Facebook. And she got on there and just asked for prayer. And obviously they, you know, aren't there and they can't be there right now. But obviously it was weighing heavy on this pastor because he wanted to be there for this family. And this other lady gets on there and she takes this poor lady up one way and down the other and talks about how it's not always the pastor's job to be there for every single thing. And him being there, this is her exact words, him being there isn't going to bring the baby back anyway. It's already dead. And so I took Mandy's phone and I proceeded to leave a comment because I'm sure this pastor's wife knew that their presence wouldn't bring the child back. But, you know, in times like that, a church member doesn't want a deacon. The church member doesn't want the assistant pastor. The church member doesn't want the other church family, even though a church family is there to be a help and a comfort and a guide and all the rest. In situations like that, sometimes all they want is their pastor. And it's not that the pastor has any special magical powers, but they know that the pastor is there to care for the flock of God. And when the flock is hurting and people in the flock are hurting, then the pastor's hurting. Because that's the flock the Lord has given him to care for. But some have gone astray because of desertion. Secondly, they could have gone astray because of disobedience. They could have gone astray because of disobedience. Psalm 119, verse 176, the Bible says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Proverbs 5:23, he shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. You know, this morning, maybe they are astray because they broke through a fence or they tore down a gate that was there to protect them. They didn't like the rules. They didn't like the boundaries. They didn't like the limits to their freedom. Oh boy, teenagers can sure speak to that, can't they? Teenagers today, kids today, they don't like the rules, the boundaries, the limits. But one day, hopefully, Lord willing, they'll see those things were put in place so they didn't go down the same path maybe their parents went or their grandparents went. But they were not content with the place they were put. They wanted more. They went astray because of disobedience. Thirdly, perhaps they could be gone astray because of distraction. I don't know about you, but I can get distracted pretty easily. I can be talking about one thing and then, pew, I'm off on another thing. It's just the way it is. But maybe they've gone astray because of distraction. You know, it's heartbreaking this morning at how many people have strayed away from God. They've strayed away from His Word. They've strayed away from the church. They've strayed away from the will of God. And it's all because they got hurt by others that did something to distract them away from the right path. The Bible's clear about it this morning. It's possible for the righteous to be led astray by others. Proverbs 28, verse 10, the Bible says, Whoso causeth the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit, but the upright shall have good things in possession. They could have gone astray because they were distracted. Not only that, they could have gone astray because of deception. They could have gone astray because of deception. You know, many people have been led astray by false teachers and by false doctrine. They've put their confidence in someone or something that deceived them. Folks, that's why you have to be very careful about these television preachers and these televangelists and all the rest. Because if their doctrine is not right, they will lead you astray. They've been tricked into believing something that was not true. They followed a liar and a deceiver and were led astray by their trickery and deception. Jeremiah 50 and verse 6, the Bible says, "My people hath been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place." They could have been led astray because of deception. Next, they could have gone astray because of disbelief. Simply, they just didn't believe anymore. Psalm 58, 3, and that's not the same as losing your salvation. You can't lose your salvation, but you can have your faith waver. Psalm 58, verse 3, the Bible says, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." Isaiah 53, verse 6, the Bible says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." And so we see this morning why they went astray. The sheep that is strayed. But then secondly this morning, we see the state that is sorrowful. We see the state that is sorrowful. You know, there's nothing more pitiful than a stray. You ever see those Humane Society commercials? Yeah, right? Those ASPCA commercials. They make the dogs and the cats look like the saddest things you've ever seen. I don't know how they do it. It must be the camera angle or something. But they make them look sad. So you can either come and donate, you can either come and adopt, or you can donate and adopt and keep adopting. When we were in Oklahoma, or before we got married, Mandy had a dog named Lucy. And we didn't know if we were going to be able to take Lucy with us when we got married. And well, I'm a dog person, always have been. And we wanted a dog when we got married. And so we started looking at dogs. And so that's when we came across Mojo. And Mojo at the time, he was like 4 months old. And so I put in the application, paid the adoption fee after we were approved. And then when we moved to Kansas, keep in mind, we adopted him, paid $150 for him before we ever met him. We just looked at that picture, those sad eyes saying, "Adopt me." And so we're thinking, oh, this better work out or we're out $150, no refunds. And so, but then a couple days before the wedding, Manny's mom and grandma said, "Well, if you want Lucy, you can have her." So we went from zero dogs to one dog to two dogs. Okay, we can make this work. Here we have an old crotchety senior dog, and now a 6-month-old, full of energy, puppy. Now the two loved each other, but they didn't always get along. Lucy would play, but then Lucy would get tired very easily. So after she got tired, Mojo did not get tired. He'd want to keep playing. And so then Lucy would have to nip at him and bite at him to teach him, as we called it, the way of the dog, and train him. And so, that being said, Lucy, when we were there in Oklahoma, she had fallen coming up the steps into the house, and she tore what was the equivalent to a person's ACL. So now, this is an old, crotchety dog. Most people in that situation would do the humane thing and take it to the vet and have it put to sleep. We weren't so smart. We took her to the vet. We got the opinion that it could be fixed for a little over $1,000. Well, again, the smart person would have said, well, she's had a good life. Let's put her down. Again, we were not so smart. So we paid over $1,000 to have her leg fixed, and we bring her home, and she did not like being in a kennel. And she's tried to lick at her wound and all the rest. So we had to get her the cone of shame. You know the cone of shame that goes, yeah. And well, she didn't like the cone of shame. So she's in her kennel, and we give her food. Instead of eating her food, she starts knocking her bowl over in protest. And so, finally she heals. And we had about another year with her. And then she started developing what they call doggy Alzheimer's. She was falling down. And so by this point, they could have given her medicine for the Alzheimer's, but they couldn't fix the falling. And so we put her down. And she's still at home with us. We took her, got her cremated, and she's there. We have her paw print and different things like that. But, we are a two-dog family. And now Mojo is sad because he doesn't have a friend. And so we go to the Humane Society. We're looking. We find Daisy. And so we bring Daisy home. We almost lost Daisy because when we took her to Petco to get her collar, we didn't realize she was this fast. She jumps out of the car and she's running around the parking lot. Now, I don't know if you ever noticed two bigger people trying to catch a dog that is faster than you. It's not a pretty sight. Okay? But we finally catch her. We bring her home. Her and Mojo, they get along just fine. But she had some food aggression and different things. And so we worked with her and broke her of it. But eventually it just came back worse than it did before. And so we had to give her up. So one day I take Mandy to work. And before we got rid of Daisy, this is when we still had Lucy, we went to the Humane Society just to look. And we wound up bringing home, because the Humane Society gave it to us for free, we wound up bringing home a Saint Bernard, even older than Lucy, deaf, hard of hearing dog. Huh?
And blind.
So, here we had three dogs. So how are we going to do this? We were sectioning the house off into three parts. Mojo's part, Lucy's part, Tootsie's part. That didn't work, so we took Tootsie back. Now Daisy's on the scene. We take Daisy back after about 3 years. We had her 4 years because of the food aggression. And I take Mandy to work one day, and I just happened to go over to Stillwater, which is about a 30-minute drive, kind of like here to Elmira. And I stop in at the Stillwater Humane Society. I brought home another dog by the name of Oreo. And, well, he kind of had some dander that didn't agree with us. And so then our final attempt at a second dog was another Rottie, named Storm. And she was a storm. But I say all that to say this. There's nothing more pitiful than a stray. They tug on your heartstrings. You want to do all you can to help them. And there's nothing more pitiful than a stray animal that has wandered away from its caretaker. You think about it this morning, they're alone. They're isolated from the flock. They're isolated from the herd. They have no one to care for them when they're hurt. They have no one to protect them from predators. They have to find their own food. They have to find their own water. There's no one around to hear them when they call out. Yes, this morning, the state of straying sheep is heartbreaking. Because you know they ought to be here, but they're not. The thought of the lost sheep, straying sheep, moved the heart of Jesus to compassion. Matthew 9:36, the Bible says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." Twice in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus clearly said why he came. Once here in our text, Matthew 18, and then Matthew 15:24, "But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Yes, this morning, the state that is sorrowful. And then thirdly and finally this morning, we see the shepherd that is searching. We see the shepherd that is searching. We see the resolve of the shepherd. You're there, Matthew 18. Notice there, if you would, verses 11 and 12. Verses 11 and 12, "For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray?" Verse 14, "Even so, it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish." You see, this morning, the great shepherd left much more than the 99. He left the ivory palaces of heaven. He left the angels. He left the Father. He left everything that he had in heaven to come searching for the strays. Those who were lost. Those who were gone astray. 2 Peter 3:9, the Bible says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You see, this morning, God is patient. He's long-suffering. He's merciful. He sends preachers. He sends missionaries. He sends soul winners. He sends a child of God to pass out a gospel tract. He uses so many means to reach out to the lost and to the strays. He has some resolve that if they're astray, he's going to seek them, he's going to find them, he's going to save them, and he's going to bring them back into the fold. So then why this morning are we content to let the strays stay stray? Say, "Pastor, they get annoyed every time I call. They get annoyed every time I text. They get annoyed every time I come to visit." Keep calling, keep texting, keep visiting until they're back here where they belong. Because they need to be here, whether they know it or not. But not only do we see the resolve of the shepherd, we see the reunion with the shepherd. We see the reunion with the shepherd. 1 Peter 2:25, the Bible says, "For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Isaiah 55:7, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." The reunion, which is so many folks are afraid to come back sometimes. Because, oh, we just won't be accepted. Yes, they will. Yes, they will. Yes, they ought to be. Because it's a grand reunion. And then finally, we see the rejoicing of the shepherd. We see the rejoicing of the shepherd. Matthew 18:13. Matthew 18:13, the Bible says, "And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray." Luke 15:4-7. "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." And then Luke 15:10, "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." You say, how are we to respond when the strays come home? We're to rejoice when they come home. We're to rejoice when they come back. Now listen, don't judge them. Don't give them the third degree. Well, where have you been the last 6 months? No, just be glad that they're back. Be glad that they're in their spot. Be glad that the Lord worked on their heart. That they saw the need, the importance of coming back to church. You say, well, why give us that list? So that we never forget the people that should be here. That they should be on our hearts. That they should be on our phones. A phone call away, a text message away. Get a card in the mail. Send a note by carrier pigeon. I don't care. Just let them know that they're missed. And listen, don't be afraid. Listen, too many times we sugarcoat things. We beat around the bush. Listen, I said it in my text message last night. I don't say come to church. The deacons don't say come to church. The church creed doesn't say come to church. God says come to church. And unless this morning you're providentially hindered, if the doors are open, you ought to be here and in your spot. You ought to be here and in your place. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking. What's that word not mean? Don't do it. Simple. Forsaking the deliberate act. When you have something, when you can be here and you choose not to be, that's forsaking. And that's sin. And you ought to be here. And those that ought to be here this morning, call them, write them, visit them. Go and kidnap them on a Sunday morning, blindfold them, tie them, and get them here. No matter what you have to do, get them here and get them back. Because there's nothing sadder than one that's gone astray. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning.